It's hot in here, you guys.
It is getting hot.
I just had some inappropriate lyrics pass through my head.
So take off all your clothes. Is that what you're going to say? You know way more rap than I thought you ever would.
IKR, I Know Right, is a podcast about women for women. This season, hosts Allie and Latasha, along with special guests, are on the lookout for the good life, a life that sometimes seems elusive. One of beauty, joy, creativity, and fun.
We have a hunch it might involve learning to think about life as a work of art and finding our place, not as the artist, but as the canvas. It's getting real. IKR, Real Conversations with Real Women. Let's go.
Hey, ladies. Do you know that spending is more than just money? I want you to meet my friend Kathy. She's an incredible lady that I actually met during a leadership program that she was hosting. And we ended up working together at Crossroads Church right here in Cincinnati, Ohio. The thing that I love about Kathy is her ability to spend everything she's got. And I can't wait for you to meet her. This is The Art of Spending. I'm excited today because we have a person that I love. Do you love her too? Do you,
okay. Yes.
Do we agree that we love Kathy Beecham Good?
For sure.
Yeah. Yes, that's true.
There's no doubt.
Kathy, welcome. Why don't you tell us just a little bit about yourself?
I'm older.
How old?
66.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I am. Yeah. I was a banker for, almost 25 years, but that was like my fourth career. So I've been a teacher. I was a human resource professional for a while, then became a banker. Then I took care of my husband, Pete, for a couple years. And now only God could make a banker into a pastor.
There's redemption
and
there.
Now there is. He can redeem everything, can he? And now I've been working at Crossroads since 2011.
I love you. I sit in your vicinity in our workspace, and you're never there. Never. Yes. It seems to me that you spend your resources on people a lot. And I just thought that we could all benefit from hearing how you do things like that.
Yeah. Why don't you start by giving us an overview of what you even think of as your pool of resources? This to me would include all the time that you have to give, the money, the relationship network. Well, how do you think of these are sort of the basics of my resources that I'm working with in my life right now?
I use the old three T's, you know, time, talent, and treasure. I think of myself that way.
Okay.
So talent would be my gifts, how I'm wired, my experience. Treasure would be my financial resources. Mm-hmm. And time is time, my attention, my energy.
Yes. That's my most precious one.
That's my most precious one, too. All of us would say that,
Just got done having a conversation over lunch about how I'm a very time-based person. So
it's actually the only source of stress in my life at all.
Really?
Is calendar.
Is it because so many people want to spend time with you, or is it because you want to spend time with so many people?
I think it's probably the former.
Yeah.
Yep. So juggling all that and trying to meet the needs of who's asking is quite a juggle.
Tell us, how do you make decisions around what you're spending? Do you have priorities that you base those on? And then just tell us, how do you go about making decisions about where you spend all of your resources?
Well, obviously, those decisions have changed over time when it comes to decisions around what to do with my money. I mean, I started out pretty poor, actually. I can remember in grad school, I was working three jobs, and I was on food stamps. And I actually would, like, scavenger in the dumpsters of grocery stores.
That is not true.
Yes, it's
that
true.
That is not true, Kathy
Beecham. It is true. I used to get bread or, like, jars of mayonnaise and stuff.
Wow.
And there was a place I could buy a case of beer for $4.99. It was fierce beer. It was it was awful. I think it was just water, colored water, actually. So, you know, at that time, you know, that's what I did as I survived. I never really felt like I was expecting or entitled to having many resources. I was one of six kids. My dad didn't make a lot of money. And I can remember he influenced me in two ways. He decided to send all six kids to private schools. I'd say he was probably middle income, maybe low to middle. Six kids to private school.
Wow.
That's a lot. Yes. And so what it said to me, and we sacrificed a lot. Like, I remember we would get one strip of bacon at breakfast. One. That was it.
Wow.
And so all of us kids, we love bacon. And so, like, when we go out, we'll just, like, hoard bacon. We just, like, stuff ourselves with it. Because we all remember being able to have one slice. But what it showed me, though, what my dad did is that he felt like he would sacrifice for things that were important. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I became very intentional about what I would do with my money. Wow. One of the ways I could be intentional is I track everything that I spend. Mm. So, like, I could go back to, like, the early 80s and tell you what I've spent on housing cost.
Still.
I still track it today. I don't track it now because I need to try to control the resource. What I want to do is make sure that what's important to me is aligned with how I use my money. Mm-hmm. So it gives me a basis to say, okay, how much did I give away this year? Or how much did I spend on kids? Mm-hmm. How much did I spend on people I'm mentoring? How much did I spend on having fun?
Essentially, I hear, I want to be a person of integrity. I want to say that these things are important to me and I want my money or my time or right. my whatever resources
to match
that.
So I said goals. I mean, I have a budget. So I said goals, kind of what I think I'm going to spend in those categories. And then I just keep track of that every month. And then at the end of the year, I kind of look and go,
Did I do
what I intended to do? Or are there some adjustments?
Do you ever spend too much on fun?
Yes.
Do you?
In fact,
good.
I have two priorities uh-huh. right now in my life. Because, you know, I don't have kids at home. I don't have to. I mean, I'm carefree now. And woohoo.
I don't know what that means.
Yes.
No, I have no idea what that means.
It's great. Look forward to it. It's one of the great things of aging, actually, is that I like to spend a lot of money on fun. So vacations, travel, mm-hmm. going out to nice places to eat, and then what I give away. So I try to give away half of what I spend. That's my target.
Half of what you spend for the year is
giving away.
Wow.
Is what my target is.
Okay.
I kind of look at my treasure as I'm kind of a pass-through agent. Hmm. I mean, like, I was really, really poor. And then all of a sudden, I had a career that created a lot of wealth for me. Mm-hmm. So it's like, well, I didn't really earn this. I was as good when I was poor as I was when I'm not poor. So I was like, okay, God, what do you want to do with this? I'm just kind of a little pass-through agent. You know.
Did you always have that mindset? Or did it develop somewhere along the way?
I didn't really learn about what generosity was until I started coming to Crossroads, which would have been in 2000. So that was, what, 18 years ago? Mm-hmm. That also happened to coincide in where my career took off, mm-hmm. and I started having more resources to be generous. Isn't God funny that way?
Yes, he is.
You know how he teaches things when we can use what he's teaching.
So let's talk about your time. You said, right now, that's your most precious resource.
Yes.
And it's in limited supply, obviously. We all have a limited supply of time.
Yeah, it's the same limited supply,
exactly.
By the way. It's like 168 hours a week. Yes.
That's correct. Wow. Yes.
Man.
She knows it.
Yes.
She's tracking
it. I didn't even know that.
I didn't either. As you evaluate your time,
yep.
how do you look at that versus how you described your money?
Yeah. I'm pretty disciplined and intentional about how I spend my time, too. I was probably driven to this by desperation because when I joined the bank, you can't join casually. You either have to be all in or not.
Okay.
So what happens is it's very demanding, and it became very clear to me. And I was in my early 30s, and it was like, oh my gosh, I got two kids at home. I have a husband. Like, I'm not going to be able to do anything but work. So I thought, I don't want to spend my career and end up trading on things that are important to me. The bank actually offered a time planning class. It was the old days of Stephen Covey and Franklin planners and all that stuff. I was really affected by Stephen Covey. In his 7 Habits of Effective People, there's a chapter in there called First Things First. Mm-hmm. And he teaches that you decide, and he doesn't exactly teach it from a faith base, but when I do it, I say to God, okay, what important things do you want me to have in my life that I need to allocate time for? And then you plan what Covey calls is roles. Mm-hmm. So like I plan my time as a parent. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have 2 grown kids now, but you know, you're still a parent, right? Mm-hmm. I plan my time as a friend. Friendships are very important to me. So every week I will look at who am I investing in from a friendship perspective. there's causes for me in the city that are important. Like, I believe God's put on my heart to be a champion to heal racial divides in our city. So that's part of my weekly planning process. And then there's my job at Crossroads and as a coach of other people, because I think I'm gifted that way. And then Covey teaches that you have to sharpen the saw, which he says means if the saw gets dull, then it's not good for anything. The saw is yourself. So every week he teaches that you have to plan what physical investment, what social investment, what emotional, mental and spiritual investment are you going to make each week? Mm-hmm. So I actually have a weekly planning system, and anybody who knows me knows I carry it around all the time. I have a little notebook and I plan my time and I ask myself a question. So, okay, as a parent, what's the one thing I can do this week that would have the greatest positive impact? Mm-hmm. And then I kind of listen for what God has to tell me, because he lots of times will direct where he wants to put my attention. So I do that as a weekly plan, and then that helps guide my decisions around my time.
Yeah, that makes sense. I've noticed, even with summer, as a wife, if I think about that role, I want to be a present and loving and attentive wife. And I also have 4 kids who are at home and awake, mm-hmm. one of them or more, between 6 a.m. and 11 p.m.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
How? What?
Yes.
What the heck? And so I have noticed
that in the basement.
Summer has mm-hmm. introduced all kinds of tension for me as a mother of older kids, because, wow, that's a lot of the hours yes. of the day. And so I'm a good boundary setter, and I'm doing this right now and I'm not doing this right now. But just being a wife, whoa, 6 a.m. is my first kid up and 11 yes. p.m. is my last kid down. And there's not a lot. I mean, so it's taken me most of the summer to realize that, honestly. So I'm going to be better at this next summer.
Yes.
But I just yes. need the 6-year-old to sleep in a little bit more, because I do everything really good in the morning.
Yeah. Yes.
If I could just have 2.5 hours
yes.
alone every morning, oh, I would crush it.
Yeah.
I would just crush it.
Kathy, I was thinking, as you were talking, our new season talks about the art of living.
Yes.
And one of the things that we have declared is that we are not the artist.
Yes.
We're at best a canvas, and the artist dictates what the masterpiece looks like. Yeah. And what I keep hearing and what you've shared is that you ask God, who is the artist, how do you want me to spend my resources? Where do you want me to spend my time this week? Where do you right. want me to spend my financial resources? You're really, really disciplined. Is there something that you can give the person like me, who is not nearly as disciplined, as a simple way to start?
I'll tell you on a couple different things. Probably on the financial side, the one thing that I think makes a difference always is to find out where your money's going.
That's right.
I mean, as a banker, we made money on people who were in debt, so we didn't really mind it. But, you know, basically people are out of control. They have no idea where their money goes. So the very first step has the highest impact is just track what you're doing, what you're spending.
Not even with the purpose of change yet.
No,
just know.
Just know it. Just see where it is, because most people, when they see what it is, the change actually comes pretty easy. It's
I would do that
trying
for
to
a
imagine.
Week. Would you do that
totally,
for a week?
Absolutely.
We should do that
yes.
for a week.
Yeah,
you and I will do that. And
yeah.
we'll report back.
And then
okay.
compare
One
your
week.
Percentages of where you're spending on what.
There is something really interesting in writing down, because for those of us who've ever struggled with weight, I mean, that's the first thing that someone would tell you to do is, well, what are you eating?
Yeah.
Write it down. And you think you know what you're eating until you write it down and you notice that you had.
That's what I did when I trained
cupcakes.
For a marathon.
You wrote everything down.
I wrote down every mile, right. every single mile.
Yep.
And I had a plan, yep. and sometimes I had to adjust that plan, but I knew exactly what the mileage increase was that would get me to my body to be physically able to run 26 yep. miles. I mean, I just knew there is a threshold you need to pass, and it ain't going to happen by accident, because nobody wants to run 18 miles.
That's right. That's a question.
You know, you're going to have to go yep. out on a Saturday morning and actually
yes.
run
yep.
18 miles at some
yes.
point.
So we're gonna write stuff down. What else? I feel like you had some other thoughts.
On financial, I think that's the biggest step. In terms of time, the highest leverage thing I do every day is I don't do anything for the first hour.
You wake up at what time?
It depends. Mm-hmm. But sometime between 4:30 and 6:30
yeah.
is when I usually wake up.
That's when I wake up.
No, you're happy right
people.
Now.
You should
great
call
people.
Me. You should
yes.
call
me.
Oh, no, you
no,
don't do
I
anything.
Don't
you, won't.
Do
no,
anything.
You won't do anything.
She doesn't like it when I text her at like 9:30, which is not late to
I
me.
And
she's like, why don't you have conversations at 6 o'clock in the morning when I'm awake?
I have something
like,
to say
it's
then.
It's only 9 o'clock.
Oh, gosh. I'm
I got
gone.
Something to say to you right now. And she's like, I am asleep.
So you're at 9 o'clock. Your first hour.
My first hour is really before God. And that changes everything about my day. So if I'm ever trying to suggest to somebody, if they're like not experiencing joy or they're feeling stressed out, I go, whoa, try this. And I mean, that's a whole nother podcast is just what you do in that hour yeah. from mm-hmm. a prayer side. But I mean, I really am filled in the day as I begin the day. I get filled by God's spirit, by sometimes I get good ideas, sometimes I get convicted, sometimes I get taught things. Everybody that I'm going to touch then in that day is affected by whatever it is I received. And if I get filled up by God, which I usually do, then I have something to fill other people up by encouragement or whatever it is they need. I have something inside of me to be able to give.
And I personally have benefited from that because I was just telling Allie one of the reasons we have this fancy bottle of wine here is because about a year ago, my car was stolen and I sent out an email to just I blind copied a couple of people. And you called me early in the morning and you said, hey.
Probably in my prayer time, Latasha.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You said I was talking to God and I was trying to figure out how I could help you. And he reminded me that I had an extra car you could borrow. I was like, well, I'll be.
So nice.
Yes, it is.
Talk about spending your resources on friendship.
That's right.
So, yeah, that's something that I have tried to learn how to do over time is recognize when I feel deficient in some area of my life and point my resources at it. Especially in the area of things I wouldn't naturally think to spend money on. Like I have a sort of mindset where it needs to be reasonable and practical and like all my shoes are beige, so they go with everything. You know what I mean? And
oh
so
my.
I need to just...
Natasha does not have that issue.
I know.
It's not my problem.
And so when I think about like, for instance, if I have a friend
she needs a beige shoe or two.
I don't even own a pair of beige shoes.
Oh my gosh. All my shoes are like beige and gray, so they go with everything. So I tend to evaluate things on like pragmatic, responsible, reasonable mindsets. And sometimes, honestly, that just isn't the thing.
That's right.
Because I want something where I could spend an extra $50 and we could be closer friends.
That's right.
That's worth it.
Abundance, too.
Yes.
God's abundance. So.
And so, yeah, I fall
splurge.
In. Maybe I do fall into sort of a scarcity thing where I think I've got this little bit and I need to parcel it out and I need to be reasonable and practical and responsible with it.
I do feel
that
the same
so
way.
So stifling.
And you're not supposed to live that way.
I know.
It's not fun.
I mean, I do think you need a base of responsible spending, right?
Yes.
So you can't go, woohoo!
Right.
But that's not my problem.
That's right.
You might say something different to somebody else who was a wild spender, right? We don't all need the same piece of wisdom.
Yes.
I need the piece of wisdom that goes, the $100, she's worth that.
That's right.
Yes.
But I have noticed that if I lean in a direction, it is toward that mindset of, you better get this right, because there might not be any more. And that's not freedom.
Yep.
And it's just as much not freedom as somebody who always spends more than what they
have. Right. Exactly.
Right? You're in a prison of a different making.
Yes.
Neither one of those are freedom.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that's why God's message on generosity is great. I mean, because he basically says, none of it's yours.
Right.
So if you start from that premise...
Yeah.
It's easy to give away
Absolutely.
And to be abundant and try some things because I just don't take it as serious.
Yes.
Oh,
you know?
That's a good
you know, if it's
I
not
need
yours.
To be less
it's not,
serious.
Right, it's, you not know, yours. It's not yours anyway, so don't be so serious about it. Like,
yeah.
Oh, well.
Wow.
So there's a proverb that I like, Proverbs 17:16. Of what use is money in the hand of a fool? He does not intend to acquire wisdom. And I read that a few times and I thought, that's right, because when I have money, or I could even broaden it to resources, I have time, I have talent, I have treasure. If I don't use those to get something more valuable than those, then I'm a fool.
Mm-hmm.
I can spend my money and gain more friendship with Latasha. That's a good investment.
Yes.
That's better than money.
Yes.
So if I can use what I have to get something more valuable than what I have, well, that's good.
That's worth it.
Then, and if I don't, that's foolish.
Yeah. I mean, when we get back to school in the fall, my daughter will be a senior in high school. I always invest my time and money and things like that because she has to have new shoes and she has to eat or whatever. But I have been very convicted recently to invest intentional time. And so, like, even this weekend, we took a weekend trip to Memphis, Tennessee, and kind of hung out and caught some museums and walked around some schools and things like that. And also my financial resources, what I found is that she's really happy to engage with me when we're shopping, which I don't feel like she's using me. I just feel like I'm using the resource to get something that I want. And that's time with her, because I recognize this time next year, it may not be that way.
Any last things you want to finish up with? Anything that you would say that we haven't said about this topic?
I guess my wish would be anybody who's listening that maybe just take the next step. Whatever it is that's the next step in either your time, you see your resources, or you see your gifting, just take whatever is the next step. Not in all three, just do one.
That's right.
You know, just start, kind of small starts. And it's amazing what God can do with that, I think.
The listener challenge this week is to track your spending for 1 week alongside Allie and Latasha and process it with a friend. Let us know how it goes by reaching out to the hashtag IKR or emailing us at ikr@crossroads.net. IKR is a production of Crossroads Church, Cincinnati, Ohio. Special thanks for our music to Mae Klingler. Find more from Mae at mayklingler.com and on Spotify and iTunes. You won't be sorry you did.